Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. And we got David Einhorn, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, is going to be with us in just a little bit. Right now, we're having a little technical difficulty getting everybody connected up. But in the meantime, I'm going to continue to talk about what I mentioned that we were going to talk about, which is the credit crisis. You know, folks, we've got a number of things that are facing us in our economy that are real challenges. We have the high oil prices, we have high food prices, high commodity prices. You heard Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, in the last hour say that he did believe that we are experiencing a commodities bubble, and that he thinks that's going to correct itself over the next 6 to 9 months. And so when that happens, even right now, though, regardless whether it's a bubble or not, those are real issues that we have to deal with right now. Those are real on-the-ground issues. Another real on-the-ground issue we have right now is the credit crisis that not only this country but really in large part of the world has been going through for the last, let's say 9 months or so, and 9 to 10 months or so, maybe since last summer, although it really came to a head, so to speak, in the fourth quarter of 2007. That's a real issue, but that issue, I think, in my mind, is a manufactured one. I think it's something that's been created by a number of people, and somebody I think agrees with me on that. In fact, maybe I should say I agree with him, because he actually wrote the book on this topic. David Einhorn is the founder of Greenlight Capital. He's also the author of the new book, Fooling Some of the People All the Time. And it's a long, short story about what really happened to get us to where we are right now. And he's with us right now. David Einhorn, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you here. I think you may have heard what I just said about some of the real issues on the ground. One of the things I've been talking about, David, for several months now are whatever we're in right now. Technically, we're not in a recession. Sometimes it feels like we are. But what I've been pointing out is that that some of the challenges we have are real on the ground, right in front of us, issues like the credit crisis, like high oil prices, and some of it is what's between our ears, the recession in our minds. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's not exactly the topic on the book, but I can throw out an opinion nonetheless. I think that, I think we had a real bubble in lending over the last number of years. I think
not a housing bubble, but a lending bubble.
A lending bubble.
While everybody was talking about a housing bubble, we actually didn't have a housing bubble. We had a lending bubble.
Well, I think the housing bubble was a result of the lending bubble.
Product.
I think that we had a system set up here where people who were buying bonds were effectively relying on credit rating agencies to tell them what the quality of the bonds was.
Right.
And the credit rating agencies had a bias towards telling people that the bonds were better than they were. And mm-hmm. So as a result, the bond buyers charged or were willing to charge too little for the bonds that they bought. And the result of this was that lots of people, including people buying houses, but also corporations doing leveraged buyouts and, you know, commercial mortgage lending and all sorts of lending kind of got to inflated levels because there was this willing group of bond buyers that was relying on these credit rating agencies.
Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting and of course, what they're also those were people on Wall Street and in the financial markets across the world who were, and you talk about this is what your book is about, these are people who are creating all these new levels of securities, right?
Well, yes, except let me just correct. That's not actually what the book is all about. I'm happy to discuss this with you as well. What
Go ahead.
My book is actually about is a number of years ago, I spoke at a charity conference, and I was asked to talk about an investment idea. And I stood up and I explained about a company called Allied Capital that was involved in some pretty shady accounting treatments. And I went and I explained as to, you know, what was going on there and said that we had sold the stock short. And what happened effectively was the company pushed back and called me a lot of names, and ultimately, you know, it led to a 6-year in running sort of back and forth that, to me, has revealed some very interesting things in the way that the markets work.
David, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back with David Einhorn right after these messages. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. And there's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. David Einhorn, ladies and gentlemen, is our new friend. He's the CEO of Greenlight Capital, the author of Fooling Some of the People All of the Time, and the author also of an article called Private Profits and Socialized Risk. And what we're going to try to do is combine all the many talents of David today in our interview, just at least this one today, to get David to help us understand kind of what's going on out there across the financial landscape. David, there's been quite a bit of concern lately about these rating companies that you talked about a minute ago, about these bond rating companies. Is there a crisis in that part of the world?
I think that there is. I think there's a real need to overhaul the way that debt is rated and evaluated. We have some effectively government-created monopolies here, and they charge monopoly prices and earn monopoly profits, but they don't do a very good job.
Is this connected to the way companies report their assets and debts on their balance sheet?
Well, this is the way that the government sanctions ratings of bonds like AAA and BBB, and so on and so forth. But separate from that, you know, there's another issue that's certainly come out, which is the notion of the fair value accounting, which is causing a lot of havoc with some of these financial institutions, which bought large portfolios of things that they levered up and they don't really want to write down, though they have fallen in value by considerable amounts.
Right.
Now, that actually sort of ties back to the book.
Exactly. So go ahead.
Where, you know, in 2002, I identified a company, Allied Capital, who had done just that. They'd bought a bunch of bonds. The bonds had effectively fallen in value. A lot of the underlying companies had actually gone bankrupt.
Were these corporate bonds?
Corporate bonds. They'd invested in companies, and the companies had actually gone bankrupt in the last recession. And Allied did not write down the value.
They still had. Folks, this is in your case, small business owners. This is where you have receivables on your books of $5,000, and last October you received a notice from the bankruptcy court saying that this company was in bankruptcy, and you basically know you're not going to get that $5,000, and yet you still tell your banker who's loaning you money for working capital, you still tell him that $5,000 is valid.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Except here the numbers were just a lot bigger than that.
A whole lot. The decimals were way, way the heck over on the right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so what happened effectively is the company didn't write these things down, and that's what I called them on. And 5 years later, the SEC went in and looked and said, whoa, look at that. They didn't actually write down the things the way that they probably
should
have.
What was your position that gave you that made you believe that it was your job to call them on it? What did you do? What were you doing?
Well, I was just researching the company, and you know, I had a look at their portfolio.
So you're just a troublemaker, David. Basically, right?
No, I like to research a lot of stocks, and more of them I like than I dislike. But occasionally, you find somebody who's just up to no good.
But basically, you blew the whistle on them.
In fact, I did. Yes.
Yeah, and they did. They took issue with that, didn't they?
Nobody likes that.
So what happened?
So they called me a lot of names, and I continued to do my research. And I eventually found out that their biggest investment was a company called Business Loan Express, or now known as Siena Capital. Mm-hmm. And they were a small business administration lender.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that they had been engaged in what now the Inspector General of the SBA told the Senate was the largest fraud in SBA history.
Wow. What were they doing?
They effectively were lending money to crooks based upon inflated appraisals and property flips and even to some properties that had, you know, weren't even operating as businesses.
And how did the SBA, was the SBA involved in this? Were they just unwitting pawns?
They were. The SBA guaranteed the loans,
yeah.
And they take a very, their goal every year is to initiate as many loans as possible.
Right.
Because
that's their
job. They like to put out a press release at the end of the year saying, we helped this many thousands of small businesses and
that's
created
right.
all these jobs. But hand in hand with that is that they don't do a very good job of oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to encourage people to make as many loans as possible. So the result is, you know, some unscrupulous lenders like these guys, you know, really got away with taking the taxpayers for a big ride.
Was this part of everybody getting all caught up in the accommodative monetary policies that the country had in the early part of this decade?
You know, it's hard to say. Hard to say exactly what was driving it, but certainly there was a real impetus by the SBA to put out as many loans as possible.
Right. Yep. They've always done that. And they work with a lot of financial organizations.
Indeed they do, and most of them are probably legitimate.
Yep.
Most of them probably follow the rules. It's just
local banks and a lot of different organizations. And I know many of those organizations. I've talked to them, and they're fine organizations that are on the other side of the spectrum from the people you're talking about.
I'm sure that's correct.
Yep.
But when
you
have a lax regime, you know, bad actors can really take advantage of the system.
Yep, absolutely. So what happened next?
Well, so ultimately, some people got indicted. One of their former employees has now pled guilty to conspiracy. The company has left the SBA lending program.
Right.
And, the problems and the debate, so to speak, kind of continue to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Hold on to that thought, Dave. When we come back, I'm going to ask David if he sees much more of this going on out there, if he's found a lot anything else to report, any other people where he can be a troublemaker for. He's the CEO of Greenlight Capital, the author of the new book Fooling Some of the People All of the Time. We'll be right back. It's 10 Till. Stay with me. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with David Einhorn, the CEO of Greenlight Capital and author of Fooling Some of the People All of the Time. David, tell us a little bit about Greenlight Capital.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Greenlight Capital, it's a firm that I founded about 12 years ago. Our main businesses were what's known as a hedge fund. We invest, we buy companies. Sometimes when we find some bad things, we sell them short. I'm also the chairman of a publicly traded company called Greenlight Re, the ticker is GLRE, which does reinsurance offshore, and we invest money for them as well.
I see. Now, one of these days, will you come back another day and explain to my audience how hedge funds work?
Oh, my goodness. I'd love to. That would be fun.
Let's do that. And before you go, make sure we've got all the contact information. But now, here's my question. By the way, the book is called Fooling Some of the People All the Time. It's only been out a couple of weeks. It's available wherever books are sold. You got a website for it, too?
Yes, it's www.foolingsomepeople.com.
Foolingsomepeople.com. And your website for Greenlight Capital?
Is www.greenlightcapital.com.
Okay.
Although I have to admit, there's not a lot on the website that's available for the public.
Well, my people like to go there anyway. You know, they just like
Outstanding. But the foolingsomepeople.com has things including like a video of the original speech that I gave 6 years ago and a lot of other good supplemental stuff relating to
good.
The book.
Oh, good. Good deal. Okay. Do you think we've learned anything? You know, most recently, you know, the 90s with the dot bombs, there wasn't any kind of fraud or subterfuge there. That just was the popular delusions and the madness of crowds. But then we had the Enron situation, the WorldCom situation, and others. Tyco, what was the other one? Another big one there. And
Adelphia.
Adelphia, yeah, that one. And then we had recently we've had some of the other stuff going on with the credit crisis, which obviously a lot of the credit crisis was just people being greedy. Frankly, in my opinion, I think greed drove the credit crisis. There wasn't anything fundamental about it. It was just greed. What do you think we've learned anything, David? Are we any better off? Has there been any kind of lessons that we can take into the future that will last us a while?
Sure. You know, the funny thing is about like the fraud crises, the Enrons and the WorldComs, there's not that much you can do about that. Once in a while, you're going to have a bad actor or a few bad companies, and they're going to do, and it's always going to be that way. It's just a question of what you do about them when you find them.
Right.
But on this particular crisis, there's a lot of lessons that can be learned. There's some real structural problems in the markets that can be fixed. I talked about one a few minutes ago, the credit rating agencies.
Right.
That really can be fixed.
Are those getting fixed?
As of now, they're not getting fixed. The lessons are clear. The question is can the people who understand the lessons overcome the sort of the interests to sort of keep things as they've always been?
I'm a small investor in the stock market, David, not a big player like you. Have I got a chance? Am I just whistling Dixie when I buy a stock? Is it just dumb luck? Even if I do research, I mean, with all the big folks moving all the money around, and I mean, you know, am I just a pawn in this grand chess game?
I don't know about a pawn, but I think you really do have your work cut out for you. I think to is a very full-time occupation. You know, mm-hmm. I know for myself and my team, and I've got a bunch of people here helping me do all of this research. We only find 15 or 20 things a year that we want to participate in, mm-hmm. and it's an awful lot of work to find them. And I think people who don't have as much effort to inability to do this, I mean time ability, I think they're fighting an uphill fight.
What do you recommend that we do?
That's a really good question. It's troubling. I think that in the absence of being able to find specific things to do, you find a very good manager that you trust, that you think is going to do a good job with, mm-hmm. with your money, and you turn it over for professional
and invest
help.
In the long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not
sure.
Short term. Yeah, David, give us in the 40 seconds we got left, what is the most compelling thing that you think people will find in your book?
Shocked at how poor the regulatory system works, how lax the SBA was, and how willing they were to be defrauded, and what a poor job, really, that the SEC and the financial press did in sort of reining in obvious accounting fraud when they saw it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think that things are better now, in turn, not necessarily the SBA, but in terms of the overall oversight?
No, I think we have a real problem. The philosophy of the SEC right now corporate fraud because the victims are the shareholders and they don't want to punish the victims twice.
Yeah.
And that
David,
encourages the bad.
Myself, they sound like fun. David Einhorn, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.